You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
The smooth, easy feeling of victory. It stays with you. What has it been now? 3 days? 3 days since our first win at lower.com field. Welcome to another Massive Report podcast. Ori Benatar, Alex Danik, Bart Logan, Sam Fahmy. My name is Brian. Please like and subscribe to the Massive Report podcast. We would appreciate it. And of course, we're brought to you by our friends at Saucy Brewworks, who welcome us with open arms and put us in the quiet part so we can do our job. And they're hopping tonight. There are a lot of people here.
I mean, why wouldn't it be hopping? Saucy Brewworks is the best bar in Columbus.
Absolutely.
And place to be in the world. Make sure you come to Saucy Brewworks, because if your brew works, then you should just be saucy with it. 443 West 3rd Avenue.
I have one coming here in a moment. The Juicy. That's kind of my go-to. When I don't know what to order, I just go with that. If I don't feel like thinking, that's what I go with. All my focus is on a very interesting, exciting Columbus Crew match. I'm beginning to think, you know, as a Seattle Seahawks fan, I tell people that our games are all weird. If you watch enough Seahawks games, you know what I'm talking about. It's just the weird finishes. They fall way behind. They figure out how to come back. And I feel like this Columbus Crew team is sort of embracing that same kind of mindset, that the game's going to be a little weird. Something strange is going to happen, but good things are going to happen in the end. 2-1 win over NYCFC, who are do we play them again? Because they got to be sick to death of us.
They play again a week from this Saturday, I believe.
Oh, wow.
On the 30th of July, and it will be at Yankee Stadium, but that's the last time they play each other this season.
Oh, man, they got to be sick to death of us. After three Lucas goals and dead ball situations in two games, and both led to losses. Devastating for NYCFC.
It's dead ball summer, folks, and we're happy. I mean, it's wild just to watch Lucas El Rayan, you know, set a single season record for Crew jersey. I think two back of Giovinco for the league record.
Yep.
Ori, I'm looking to you on that one. And you just got the feeling when you got it, especially when you saw the spot, that, I mean, this is just too serving it up on a platter for him. He's money from there, and that's what he was. And Bross got a mitt on it, but that wasn't going to stop it. And it's good. I looked, and this was a game that Crew, it kind of feels like, I mean, not like they stole it, but damn, Aloy Room was so good on the other end that it feels a little bit, you're fine seeing it happen in New York City, but boy, if that happened to us and we lost on a, you know, free kick after out shooting them 21 to what, 6-7-11, you'd go back feeling very, very salty, and I wouldn't blame you.
Ears are still ringing from, oh, thank you. God love you. Cheers. Got my juicy. Ears still ringing, Alex. That place is two games now. That place is loud.
It's a great stadium. It's a great stadium, and it's nice to play in a soccer-specific stadium. This is our second soccer-specific stadium, New York City. Just saying.
2-0.
Just saying.
It's set up.
We don't play in a baseball stadium. It's nice. I like it.
Stadium for lease.
That's great.
1996 a month. Historic property, ample parking, soccer specific, 969-9696. Ask for Crew Cat. Maybe NYC can lease the old place.
It'd be an upgrade.
Can't beat the price.
That's right.
If they want to be Columbus SC, they can be Columbus SC. There you go.
NYC Columbus SC or something. Well, obviously, Ori, Caleb Porter was proud of his men. After the game, calling Eloy Room the best goalie in the league. It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Darlington Nagbe, bursting with pride about him as well. Mm-hmm. Anything else that he touched on after the game that was of note?
Yeah, I mean, he mainly just kind of pointed out how incredible it was that this team was able to get a result against a super talented New York City team with, 12 players out. They didn't have their starting right back this time around because Aful was suspended from the Cincy game with his red. And Caleb Porter was just singing the praises of all these guys that have had to step up for these players that are out, the likes of Marlon Hairston and Saad Abdul-Salam, Isaiah Parente coming off the bench the last two games, Miguel Berry playing pretty well defensively, having to sit in a low block most of the game. And he knew that the game was going to be NYCFC controlling the possession. He knew they were a more talented team playing in that match. He knew that they were going to get most of the chances. They practiced playing in the low block all week long in preparation. They held strong. The only thing was is that they got lucky that New York City was not clinical in front of goal. I was talking to Sam about this before we started. Three specific chances come to mind. Schrotty shanking one way past the net. Ball was just bouncing in his way. He could have shot past six guys, at least on target. Andrade trying a self-made bicycle kick. I don't know what he was thinking.
he was backed off.
He juggled it to himself three times and tries a spectacular bicycle. And then Castellanos had a lofted through ball towards him. He's wide open. He decides to try a scissor kick. I don't understand that either. But Caleb Porter has got his guys playing well. They've one loss in their last eight, four straight games without a loss as well. They got the win, though. It was really important that they got this win. And he's now in a bit of an interesting situation, a good problem for a coach to have, having all this depth and these guys impressing without the main starters in a lot of different positions out. So he's very happy. He's really proud of his guys. And he said, as he was walking off, to all of us, like, guys, this may be the most talented team in the league. So he's like, yeah, we beat these guys with 12 players out. He's really happy.
Well, why wouldn't you be? I felt like early New York City were pretty adamant that they were going to go down the left side and see what Abdul Salam could do playing out of position. And he looked kind of lost early, I felt. The handball, you talk about something else that could have gone very wrong. They moved it from the spot outside the box, and that probably saved the win when you think about it. But once he
and
got,
that was a penalty. In my eyes, that was a penalty.
You think so?
Yeah,
I didn't get a close enough look.
I think the ball made contact inside the box.
The ball
well,
made.
They looked at it.
Okay, so the compromise. I don't think it was a penalty because he was not like he didn't put his arm out intentionally. This is the way. This is going to be the issue of having to the new interpretation of the handball rule in FIFA. Is like he was turning around and that was in his natural body position, but it hit him.
I don't think the compromise was natural.
You'd think that if they put it back and pulled off the penalty, that they would take away the yellow card because it was still not intentional. But the compromise was they still gave him the yellow, but he just put it outside the box, which was, I think it was dumb, but I don't think it was a penalty.
Well, I'll take it. I didn't get a good look at it, even though I was sitting right there.
At least the crew did something that a lot of soccer teams are not doing correctly now, and they jumped together as a wall. We've seen so many teams around the world not have proper walls for free kicks. As they jumped, they stuck together. There were no gaps. And then you got Alex Matan there sitting as the potential, if he kicks the ball under the wall person.
The log.
Yeah.
We'll call him the log.
That's what you want to call it officially? The log?
Sure. He's like a log.
He looked real thrilled about it.
Well, nobody is thrilled with that job. Nobody.
No, it's not the best job out in the world, but...
Yeah. If the crew had been taking that shot and that had been a handball on a crew shot, I would have wanted Don Garber arrested.
I would have wanted Don Garber arrested.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a call that you get at home that you don't get on the road. Right. We'll just leave it at that. My point was that I felt like as the game went on, Abdul Salam felt more comfortable, and he let his athleticism be his guy. And I felt like he was a real positive guy. And when you're at field level and you're watching him, that guy can run.
Mm-hmm. I think he's been one of the most consistent new signings this year. Every time he stepped on the pitch, he's come through with a good, consistent performance, whether he's playing right back or left back. You know, we've got all these other new signings that have been joined this team, and Caleb Porter's really happy that they're gelling with the 2020 championship core. But, you know, a lot of these new signings haven't been able to play consistently. Matan, Perry Kitchen, Bradley Wright Phillips. We haven't seen a lot of them yet. We've seen a lot of Abdul Salam for the most part, and I think he's been very consistent.
Now, maybe I'm mistaken here. I feel like I've seen him play midfield.
He's played midfield before.
Okay. So he's just sort of like the Hector Jimenez of this season?
I would say.
That's Hairston, right?
Yeah, Marlon Hairston's more that role.
Fair enough.
Hairston can slot in almost anywhere on the field because he has that ability to push forward as a box-to-box midfielder. He's played defense before. He was a right back for the Rapids in 2017.
Well, that's what they signed him on, right? To be relief for Harrison Hoffel. And now he's because we had so much depth at midfield.
That's my bad then. I really felt like that I'd seen him play everywhere but there. But, you know, I watch the game as a fan. I think I miss things that you guys see, and that's why you're here. because I would be an idiot talking about half this stuff.
Do you feel like we haven't seen much from Matan? Because I feel like he's been a bright spot.
Yeah. I think we have. Matan's been a bright spot. I just want to see more of him, honestly. I just don't think he's played, gotten enough minutes consistently. He is now because of the amount of wingers that have been gone. I like what I see from Matan. He likes to take on defenders. I wish that he had a little bit more chances to shoot on target.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't had the ability to shoot a lot, and that's probably not the role that he's there for right now. They want to create for Zellerayan, Caleb Porter's system. They like to create for their striker, get crosses in, especially when Jossie's on the field. So, yeah, essentially it's just a... It's all right. I was getting a salad from Saucy Brewer, so I'm ready to try it. It's going to be really, really good. But, yeah, it's been – I like Matan. I really like Matan. I want to see more from him. I think he could be a really, really good player for this team. I'd like to see him get some goals too.
I was a little surprised when he came off as early as he did. Was it just a matter of tired legs, trying to save something for tomorrow?
They need to keep an eye on minutes.
Yeah, and it looked like Caleb Porter was really laying into him during that game about some – missed opportunities. Like, there was that pass that it was him and Pedro basically on a breakaway with one defender, and he totally overshot Pedro, and Pedro would have been just him on the goal. So but yeah, I think there's some, I think Caleb was going for something a little bit more like, okay, you're trying too hard, you need to lay off a little bit.
He does work.
Yeah,
he does work. And I told my wife after the game, I said, I feel like in a year we're gonna look at him as a key player. He's young.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's very young.
I think with some experience and maturity, we're going to look back at this year like we did with Jonathan and the growth that he had. Different position, obviously, but just in terms of growth, I feel he's not going to get much taller. But
yeah.
I feel like in a year we're going to be really keying in on him as an important player on this team and maybe a regular starter.
And here's something. We can take it as completely dumb, but having him and Pedro on the wings, and when they tuck in, and the propensity for other teams' defenses to foul them in that very dangerous area that Lucas capitalizes on is very, very, very high. Very high. I mean, Pedro got the foul that Lucas scored from. Matan got a couple of fouls also in similar areas. So when you have those technical players that can frustrate the defenses so that the defense has to foul them in order to stop them, well, you have a sniper.
Yeah.
And that's your equalizer right there.
And we'll see what the winger decision-making is like now that Kevin and Derek are both back from Gold Cup. So there's a lot. Caleb Porter has a lot of decisions to make with his lineups now. And he said at the Ohio Health Performance Center this morning, you know, it's a good problem to have as a coach. There's a lot of options to pick from. He's proud that these guys have stepped up to get them points. And Columbus is right in the mix of it. The Eastern Conference table is tied up at the top, and they're in the 20-point zone.
We touched on his name a little bit. The Nagbe goal was one where, okay, they're just going to let me go, and they're going to let me go, and I don't think they believe I'm going to shoot. Here I am. I don't.
Phenomenal.
That breakdown by New York City, though, was pretty stunning. Not like they just fell asleep there at the end of the half.
I think you look at the goals that Darlington Nagbe has scored for this team, and it's getting cliche to just kind of talk about how underrated or just well-rounded he is as a player. But that is, that's running the entire gamut. And that's just what he does. You just give him that little moment there at the end of, end of the half. Maybe they're thinking, okay, we're going to run it out. We're going to get a whistle here or something. And he just takes it. And that's the difference between him and, your replacement level center midfielder or just – any player in this, and that's why this team plays so much more differently when he is in the lineup and why Lucas gets the opportunities again. It's just when you see players like that moving around and the chemistry that they have and just the knowledge and understanding of the game, it's really fun to watch.
Probably my favorite moment from the press conference after the game, Caleb Porter gave the game ball to Darlington Nagbe. I think he earned it. I think he was other than Aloy Room, he was the best player on the pitch. And as much as Aloy was making some great saves, to me it's hard for a goalkeeper to really be a man of the match unless they make, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 saves. He was probably the man of the match, but Darlington Nagbe was the best outfield player on the day. And Caleb Porter said, since I've coached Darlington Nagbe, he's never had a bad game for me.
Yeah, I saw that quote.
And then I asked Darlington, Caleb said that. Do you think that's true? He's like, probably had a bad game or two under Caleb Porter. But it doesn't seem like it, because every time Darlington Nagbe plays, he never loses the ball. Yeah. He passes 95% plus accuracy, sometimes 100, and he scores a key goal. He scored 3 goals for the Crew. They've all been great, fantastic finishes, one of them winning goal of the year in Major League Soccer in front of an empty stadium against Chicago in August. But, I thought Darlington Nagbe was incredible, and Caleb Porter has said, this team has a strong spine. Aloy Room, Mensa, Nagbe, and Zelarayan down the middle. Any of those guys are playing, it gives this team a chance to win.
Mr. Buba, I felt like, had a really good game. And again, same thing, Alex. I talk about Buba, and I go back to the Champions League where he slipped and fell. They scored, and he got up, and he played his guts out. The kid has no fear, right?
I love him. I think we've got... Of the young people that we have, like, a really good group this time. And we don't always have that. Like, there are definitely some people I can think of that I was like, this person's never going to make it. Most of those people have not made it, so it's, like, you can usually tell. But people like Buba, I feel like they are really, really committed to taking their time and learning the game. And, you know, he's not going to play that often, but I think when he does play, like, it's good to get him out there, get that experience. He's somebody for the longer term. So even when he makes mistakes, it's like, okay, he'll learn from that.
But I don't even think it's that, you know, long term when we think about it. I mean, again, you've got Vita Wormhoor, who's had now injury issues. Yeah. He's 32 years old. Josh Williams, I love the man. I want him to play for Columbus forever. But, you know, he's always, for the last 2 years, you know, when he came back, you thought of him as a guy coming off the bench, really. And he's forced his way into the starting lineup as regular. And that is a credit to him.
He's like,
but
what,
he's on the other side of 32.
Yeah.
So you look at Buba Keita. I think it is so good to be getting him these minutes. And if he wasn't getting him in Columbus, I'd want him out on loan, ideally with an MLS club getting him. Because I think he is the real deal. We've heard the things, you know, Tyler told us off air, you know, a couple times that they think that Crew players, you ask them, and he is the fastest player on the team at center back because he's 6'4". He covers so much ground. There's so much athleticism. And he does. And he's learned from the mistakes. And I think he's a starting caliber MLS center back for most teams right now in this league. And to have him, you know, at what, 19 years old, 20 years old, I think that is a luxury. And I think his time is going to be coming sooner than later.
Yeah. Well, and with Josh Williams being 32, I mean, that's a really good call out. I mean, we've got maybe 20, 30 years left in him. And,
yeah.
Know,
he has to score at least one more time before he goes. So, I mean, that's a good
thing. I mean, he's going to be a player coach.
So I feel like Buba is the prototype that we're sort of developing here in Columbus, the kind of defender that we're looking for that has that tremendous size. But we've seen – I remember Orlando of a few years ago when they were so bad. They had all these huge defenders who couldn't move. You got to be able to move. And that's the difference here that we're seeing. And obviously, when you have Jonathan covering the air, the whole box basically, it does make these other guys look good. It frees them up, right?
I mean, Mensa is just a freak. I mean, Mensa does not belong in Major League Soccer. Like, we are incredibly lucky to have a player of that caliber in this league.
Right.
I mean, he is one of these guys where I'm just like, this dude plays for Columbus? Like, him and Lucas are kind of like this. Darlington.
Jonathan's instinctual ability to just go to the ball and then position himself is very, very good for a Major League Soccer. I mean, he's an excellent, excellent defender. And with his leadership, that helps guys who aren't playing a lot, like Keita, Abdul Salam, Francis, to stick together as a back line. They did that against New York City. They had one moment where they just didn't want to clear the ball and conceded, but I still think with Josh Williams, you get this defense back to being one of the best in Major League Soccer. I think they need him back sooner rather than later.
But you just also think of in training, being around a guy like Jonathan Mensa or Buba Keita. I mean, that is one of those things that you're not going to be able to replicate if he's on loan somewhere. Because, I mean, just to learn from that, the consummate professional, a guy who's a, you know, leader of men, heart on his sleeve, just, I mean, humanitarian of the year, too. I think it's great, and it does. I mean, you want to get those guys healthy, but it is reassuring to see that you don't just have this MLS and elite all-star caliber talent, but when you're getting into depths, when you've got 11 starters out, you can go to a guy like Bubba Keita, and he's going to be able to contribute, or Abdul Salam. That's just night and day from crew teams that we've seen in the past, where they would have just completely melted during, you know, with all these injuries racking up.
And I feel like there were games where if we had Will Trapp out, it was game over. We were going to lose. Will was out. You can just mark it down as a loss. Like, it's not going to happen.
And also, it seems, and maybe it's just me, but it seems that since the Cincinnati game and how that thing went down, Jonathan played this last game like he's angry. Like, even when he heads the ball out, it's just like an aggressive header. It's not, you know, when they took that free kick and he was in the wall, and he just, like, you know, put all of his anger in that ball and sent it to, like, midfield.
Yeah,
that is... that is a good point, and we've seen that in the last couple of games, that he's kind of or you're going to have to ask Jonathan if there's something that's bugging him, because he has something that's in his craw the last, not that I mind it, it's just, it's interesting to see.
I mean, I think from a personal standpoint, this season is definitely a little bit easier for him, because now his wife is living with him in Columbus. He didn't have that last season, and now he's just able to have a little bit. You know, he doesn't have that worry, and I can completely relate to that, experiencing it myself currently.
Unless he's getting nagged about taking out the trash or something. I don't know.
But at the same time, he's showing his leadership in the community, too. He went out to help Nordeca paint that tribute to Kivi.
That's a beautiful thing.
Blue Jackets keeper who passed away from the fireworks accident during the 4th of July weekend. And he wanted to be out there, to be with the supporters, to help with that. He's not the best painter. He said that to the media recently.
It's all right. It's a beautiful thing.
It's great that you have a captain that wants to be out and about with the community, plays well for his team pretty much every night. You know, that's really great for the Columbus community to have, especially in times where the club is growing with its stadium and its brand as well.
All right. Before we put a wrap on this one, unless anybody has anything else game-wise, Alex, if you could, game two in the new stadium in Nordeca, a grade or something from you? How are things coming down there? It's from my end on the south side. It sounds so huge to my ears and a difference making. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm gonna yield to Bart on this one because I actually missed the game. I watched it on television, but
wow.
I still hate the jackhammer. I want to just get that out there. Still hate the jackhammer.
Do they show that on TV?
A little bit, okay. A little bit.
It is pretty silly.
No, I think it's a great. I think it's a great section, and you know, every time I've been over there, and I've been there a number of times, not on game days. It's just a beautiful, beautiful spot. So it's going to be our home for a long time, and I can't wait.
All right, Bart, your feelings on that?
I think the best addition is definitely the triangles. I think it is intimidating if you are an opposing team taking a free kick or a corner free kick potentially to tie the game in the dying minutes, and you hear those triangles, it really throws them off. So I don't know who does that, but those guys
you
are
mean like the,
yeah,
the
yeah so yes, like those like
I,
that.
I didn't hear that or
wait,
see
there's
that.
Guys oh, no, with yes, actual triangles
where?
In Nordeca.
Yes.
That's
in
Nordeca, awesome.
In the triangle.
That's amazing.
Wow.
So I've heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard that the good folks at GCG Bag have taken over kind of like the far left section of Nordeca, kind of that northeast corner a little
okay.
bit. Mm-hmm. In the way that the section is designed, it's almost like a little triangle of seats over
okay.
there.
That kind of called it in a logo somewhere?
It's now called the GCG Bag Triangle. It's the official,
kind of like the Bermuda Triangle.
It's the official name.
Okay.
Not at all connected to the Illuminati.
Speak
That's
to
important.
The front office. They're well aware. Yeah, there's actually a little button on the bottom you press and it slides. I've said too much.
If you hold up a $1 bill, Nicolas Cage comes up and shows yeah. you the national treasure.
The Clippers have the cowbell. Mm-hmm. Now the crew have the triangle.
The Declaration of Independence may or may not be under the triangle. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, I love it. I'll look for that tomorrow. I didn't notice.
I did want to add, or go ahead, Bart.
Oh, I just, you know, I mean, in terms of just the, you know, from the experience from Nordeca, I mean, it's wild. It is, I mean, there's so many people, and you run into kind of, and it's fun because, you know, it has been you're sort of you run into some of those people that you recognize from the Nordic. You recognize them from maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and some people that are coming back to games for the first time, and it's good to see. There's so many new fans in there too, and I think it's been welcoming. It's such a, you're just right on top of each other, even as close to each other as you were in the old stadium. It's even more, and the views. I mean, we've been down. I've been lucky to be, you know, down kind of, you know, a couple, 3, 4, 5 rows up for half of some of the games, and that view, it's incredible. Just you're literally ground level. It's like you're out there playing with them, and then even just, you know, and then up a little, you know, another section, and you get this full, terrific view of the field. I think just from how close you are in there and how, you know, how on top of the players, you get such a great view of it. It's awesome.
Even if you go, I trekked up to the northwest corner of the Nordeca before the game just to kind of see what that view looks like from up there. And even all the way up top, for one, that thing is steep.
Yeah.
I mean, think Ohio Stadium steep. If not even slightly steeper.
Yeah, but I don't
also,
like C-Deck very much.
Even from that far, you have a great view of, like, the action that's happening on the field. Like, a great view. You can tell who the players are. You can tell who's doing what. You can see, you know, plays developing.
Have you seen anyone tumble down the stairs yet from the gravity?
No one
into
taking,
play.
You know, knock on wood so far. Okay. And no one injured, you know, no OSHA violations with the jackhammer. So, and I think,
well,
I think
made
all
it,
those are
made
wins.
It pretty safe there with the block of stone that's already been broken in half. Something needs to be done about that, Alex. I would be more satisfied if they would actually jackhammer a slab.
I agree.
I agree. It more.
With the other team's logo spray painted on the slab, not on the metal.
It's just,
if Portland pre-cut the tree, it would be done. That's all I'm saying. It's
and like, then held a chainsaw in the air. Yeah.
It is still, you know, people operating a jackhammer with, and granted, I think all the folks that actually have operated, they are, you know, whatever,
licensed,
they've got their licensed jackhammers, jackhammersmiths,
jackhammeri,
jackhammeri. But you know, it is still, it's a work in progress. It's growing, and I think, you know, they're learning from it. I would like to find a way to get some mics, like, on, you know, field level mics around it, so it can be a little bit louder, because I've heard that's, like, on the television broadcast, it's not that loud. And, like, I'm sorry, I've also chainsawed stuff before, and there's apparently rules that, oh, you can't, you know, have mics around it and pump that noise into the stadium. But I've been to games at Portland, and I have also used a chainsaw before, and there's no way there's not a mic on that to hear it around that stadium like you hear it. So we need to get some mics around there so it can be louder and more intimidating, and yeah, if we can, you know, spray paint it on there and maybe get bigger blocks, it's all within reason. They're kind of putting it together as we're going, and they're open to new ideas. So I think everybody, you know, that submits them, we'll see what they can do.
I will add the media area. We had a beautiful buffet on Saturday night. Hot dogs, chicken, potatoes, popcorn. Like,
good for you.
It was great. And I texted the image to Pat because he was in the stands for the game for his birthday weekend. Happy belated birthday, by the way, to Pat Murphy.
Pat Murphy is the only man over 30 that gets, like, a birthday weekend or birthday week. Pat Murphy gets a birthday week.
Pretty much.
And I respect him for it.
I think that's something that you just take and you go, this, and you just go with it. And people will... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we had to celebrate your birthday for a week.
Yeah.
I send him this buffet. It's a, you know, never before seen for, like, crew media ever. His only response was a 4-letter word. That's all I'm asking. He's like, one game I don't come to is media. A beautiful spread of food.
Cool.
All right. Well, good for you up there in the press area. All right. Let's move along to tomorrow. The game's coming hot and heavy. We have Nashville coming in. Zimmerman wouldn't play regardless because he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But had he not been hurt, he'd be with the USA. Such an important player to them, as we learned in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
So before we talk about them, though, I feel like it's more important to talk about who we're going to be able to put out there tomorrow. We're getting Molino and NTN returning, and I assume at least NTN is going to draw a start here.
I don't think Etienne would start. He played every minute for Haiti in five games in the Gold Cup.
Okay.
So they're probably going to rest him on Wednesday.
Maybe not play him at all.
I don't know. We'll see. They're going to manage the minutes properly. Molino played less minutes, so I don't expect those guys
back from injury.
I could very much see Matan starting and then Etienne coming in and later in the second half or whatever, just to kind of get him back into that rhythm of being with the team.
It's all about minutes management.
Or Pedro's played a lot of minutes, and this would be a good time to take him off and give him some rest before Atlanta next week.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on where Caleb Porter prioritizes maybe playing his top 11, because Nashville is a game closer in the table than Atlanta. Mm-hmm. While Atlanta is a nationally televised game, it's against a team people in the league know. It's in a beautiful NFL stadium on ABC. This is an Atlanta team that hasn't been playing well recently. Nashville's 2 points ahead of Columbus, right in the top seven in MLS. This is a big, big game for them, a must win. But it's all about managing minutes with these guys coming back from Gold Cup. Bradley Wright Phillips, too, is not on the injury list. I don't expect him to play a full 90. Maybe starts for a 45, 50, 60-minute clip. Maybe comes off for Barry or Hurtado, like we've seen Hurtado come off the bench the last two games. But the team is beginning the process of getting everybody back. It's starting.
Did you like Hurtado with BWP?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
It wasn't very long.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Last game is not really a great evaluation for the offensive players because they had to defend basically the entire game.
Okay.
So I think I want to see Hurtado get in a situation where, you know, you really need a goal to potentially get a win. You know, we saw him come on as a potential goal-scoring threat against Cincinnati. Miguel Berry scored the goal. Hurtado comes on, defends really well against New York City. I think he has it in him to play defensively, something that Jossie Zardes excels at whenever he's a starting striker. So that's something where we're going to have to see whether Hurtado can come off the bench and maybe get a big goal in the second half. But these two teams have played twice before. Columbus won both times 2-0, including that big playoff game. Mm-hmm. But these games are defensive battles. Now, without Walker Zimmerman, it could be less defensive, and the fact that Nashville's hot, Hani Mukhtar just scored a hat-trick
in 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm
much more worried about, especially with the way Columbus has, you know, conceded goals early for not in that New York game, but in the games prior. It seemed like they've taken a while to kind of get their feet under him, and with Hani Mukhtar, as he mentioned, already there, within 15 minutes, I think fastest natural hat-trick in MLS history.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a player who's been dangerous, and you know he's got the techers. You remember that from the playoff game, I think that's a concern, and I think you do if you're Caleb Porter. I think you want to try to field your best 11 that you can, and you know, recognize that you can potentially pull on against some good talented players, because of your depth come Saturday against Atlanta, but I think you need to treat this one like the bigger of the two games.
But let's put it a little bit in perspective. It was against Chicago.
Yes, of course.
Chicago's
terrible.
Defense has been
three of his seven goals in the season came in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
For whatever that's worth. I do remember
four of Lucas's come off of set pieces.
Fair enough.
It's also crazy to see the two 2020 MLS expansion teams, Nashville and Miami. Who would have thought that Nashville would be miles better than Miami at this time? Who would have thought that?
Based on everything that they did on the business side of things, I would have predicted that.
Okay, fair.
That's been a little bit of a circus. I get like big TFC vibes. Like early days TFC is pretty much what Miami is. I feel like they've taken that mantle.
We have a little bit of a breaking news. The breaking news is Nashville will not wear yellow tomorrow at Crew Stadium.
As expected.
You know, we're wearing the stadium kit.
Should
obviously.
We wear yellow
Crew's
going to
wear No, Crew's going to wear gray for the sixth time in a row Wednesday, and then Nashville's going to wear blue.
At least they finally broke, you know, the jinx of wearing those kits and finally won a game.
I mean, it's bound to happen when it seems like that's going to be the only kit they're going to wear for the rest of the season. Like, they're not going to wear black at Atlanta because Atlanta's going to have black stripe home jersey, so that's going to be another game in gray. Against New York City, probably that might be the game they break the streak and wear black because New York City's home jerseys are a light blue. But
I feel like this is almost like You know, like in hockey, I mean, you saw a hockey highlight up there. You've got, you know, you match up your lines, and sometimes you're just trying to match it. It's like this is like them just trying to match up to make sure that Nashville couldn't wear the yellow because that would be a very bad look. And it would be a very bad look, Crew. And that's
confusing.
Why they should bring back a yellow jersey. We'll see.
I would like to see the yellow jersey at least a couple more times this year.
The thing that's frustrating to me is they're going to bring back the yellow jersey, but it's going to have that new crest on it.
I know.
And it's like they're making me choose. Like, I want to stock up on, like, old jersey stuff, but then it's like if I want to buy old logo stuff, but then I have to buy, like, this concrete-colored, like, thing. I'm like, ugh. These are not good choices you're giving us, Crew.
All right, brutal. Well, regardless of what they're wearing, and maybe we'll do shirts and skins, I don't know. Will we have Josh Williams back in any capacity tomorrow, Ori?
We'll see. He's questionable. I know if it's a shirts and skins game, I know Bart would be very excited if the Crew was with skins.
I think
and
lots
if Josh
of people
Williams
would
was
be.
Playing. I mean, I saw GCG's back tweet when that video came out of
that could have been
Josh
anyone.
Working out.
That could have been anyone. There are lots of people with that handle.
But Josh Williams is the only one that's questionable. I think in terms of the guys that have been on the injured list that we can expect to factor in this game, I think Bradley Wright Phillips is a for sure. I'd expect him to play at least 30 minutes, either starting or off the bench. If he's starting, I think he plays a full first half and then comes off in the second half. I don't know about Molino and Derek yet. Depends on how they're feeling fitness-wise. I think with Derek, he played so much for Haiti. He had an active role for them. Molino did too for Trinidad, but Trinidad played more defensively in the Gold Cup than Haiti did.
When was Haiti's last game? When was Haiti's last game?
They played on Sunday against Martinique and won. Okay. So Derek just played literally, what, 3 days ago?
Right.
No chance we see Milton.
Milton's out.
No chance we see Artur.
Artur is still out. Obviously, Morris is still out. Okay. Vito is still out. And then the Gold Cup guys out now are Jossi, Diaz, and Frazier. All are going to play next Sunday in their Gold Cup quarterfinals, and Diaz is going to play against one of Frazier or Zardes.
Well, we talked about Mukhtar. I was looking at at Nashville's roster. They're shorthanded in goal. What's the story there? I've missed that one.
I have to look that up and double check. I have to see.
The two on ESPN anyway, the two rostered goalies hadn't played at all this year. So I don't
know. Who are the rostered goalies you have on
that
list?
You're going to have to. You know, have to bring it up. Can you edit this part?
We got to get the old.
I think Joe Willis is.
Joe Willis should be starting.
Yeah.
Well, for whatever reason, there was only two guys listed on ESPN.
Yeah, and Joe Willis has played every match. He's played 13 games.
Well,
five
I don't
clean
know why,
sheets.
I don't know why he's wasn't on the roster list then. Well, never mind then.
Sam,
can you edit that part out?
We don't really have to edit that.
All right. I was just curious. I looked at it this afternoon. I'm like, there's somebody missing, and I can't think of his name.
I'd go if you want to get reliable MLS stats. I mean, their website helps, but I think FUTMob is a good place too. I always look at FUTMob for stats like this. Great app. We're not sponsored by them, by the way.
You guys
but
want
we
me to?
Could be.
Of course.
You guys want me to cuss out FC Cincy or something? So Sam has to cut it, or
yeah. We're getting to that. We're getting.
Why
to
would
that.
I cut that out?
All right, never mind.
We're getting to that soon. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pick the score tomorrow, and then we'll move on to Atlanta, the nationally televised broadcast game on ABC this coming Saturday at 3:30 against Atlanta. Nashville picks, we'll go with you first, Ori.
I haven't thought about this one yet, but I'm thinking about it now, and I think the Crew are going to win. I haven't picked a Crew win in a while, and I think they're going to come away with it. I think the home field advantage is going to help. They're feeling confident after holding New York City to just that goal. And I believe Columbus, with potentially Bradley Wright Phillips getting more minutes, I think attacking-wise it'll look a little bit better. Zellerayan, Nagby, all playing with confidence in that midfield five. I think Columbus wins 2-0. It's going to be another Dos Acero against Nashville, the third
2-0.
In a row.
2-0. I was not expecting that from you. Sam!
I think Nashville's actually been pretty good and pretty hot, so I'm going to say another 2-1 win for the Crew.
Another 2-1 win. All right, Alex?
I'm going to say 1-1. I don't know. These Wednesday games are weird, and we're down a bunch of people. So I think we're going to give up some sort of a fluky goal, and we'll get one back.
All right, Bart?
I am going to go with 3-1 for Crew.
Wow.
I think Nashville again. You know, maybe it's Hani Mukhtar, but I do think Crew's going to continue to remain hot, and I think maybe Josh Williams in some short time, just getting a little bit of action there as Caleb Porter's working him back in, and he works that back line against Nashville and scores the dagger bicycle.
Okay. Well, I was going to pick the Crew 5-4, but that seems absurd. Oh, wait. It is a possible result in a soccer game. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. No, I can't pick that. These are two excellent defensive teams. I have much respect from Nashville, even without Zimmerman. I'm going to say 1-0 Crew. I'm going to say BWP scores.
I like the BWP goal.
Early. And then we make it hold up. All right, let's move along to Atlanta, where they have fired their manager, Gabriel Hines. He wasn't on the job very long, was he, Bart?
No, just this
not
year.
Even half and, a full season.
And boy, the expectations are so high there.
And he didn't have much of it, as far as I can tell, much of, you know, a track record of success, you know, coaching prior to Atlanta, especially
where'd
when
he
you
come
consider.
From?
What, it was he wasn't. Like, I don't think he was managing anywhere before Atlanta. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah.
It's like a very famous former player.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Former player, but he didn't have when you look at some of the other names that they had in there before, Tata Martinez, you know, DeBoer, like that seemed like a little bit of a stretch for them. And then, you know, it turns out, a former meathead player doesn't like things like, I don't know, letting his players drink water, for instance.
What?
That came out as a story.
Yes,
yeah.
he violated, you know, against CBA negotiations, he would not permit his players, or he only allowed them to drink a certain amount of water during, like, their trainings. They had too much water. Nope, he's cutting them off. In the year 2021.
It's like 1980s college football coach.
Yeah, and he also would, like, the CBA part was they were promised, like, guaranteed days off, and he would make them show up for training anyway. So
where did this guy come from?
He's old school. Hines is old school.
Well, I know, but
from Argentina.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was,
so apparently the training methods.
A guy from Argentina, a German guy, or a guy from Argentina with a German name. You do that.
No water? Brian.
Played for Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United.
Okay.
He gave them some water. This is like not a. This is not like a super.
Was it a ladle in a bucket?
Yeah. Based on how well they performed, they would get a certain amount. No, wow. It's actually not like a super uncommon thing still, which is crazy to me. That, like, people think, oh, if we dehydrate our players during training, then when they get dehydrated
during the
game, they'll be fine. That's not how this works, Gabrielle. So all that came out. I'm very scared of Atlanta now that they'll be given, you know, as much water as much water as they want. You know, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I agree. I think people will think, oh, you know, Atlanta's in turmoil. They haven't won a game in their last eight. They are playing this week while the Crew is playing.
Well, sort of.
But you think about teams that have their coaches fired, and it seems like not a lot of people on the Atlanta team really like Gabriel Heinze. So,
well, I can
understand
chief
among
why.
Them, Joseph Martinez,
who said today he wants to retire in Atlanta. So he's
I believe that. Dream club,
we'll
dream move.
We'll take his word for it.
There's all kinds of drama around Martinez, who's only scored 2 goals in 7 games this year, which is not acceptable for Atlanta.
Since Tata Martino left, that team has been nowhere near as good, but Atlanta's going to be motivated. These guys are probably really happy that Hines is gone. We've seen the likes of Tottenham play better once Jose Mourinho got fired.
Yeah.
Toronto's starting to improve a little bit now that Chris Armas is gone. I think Atlanta's going to be a team that is really excited to play how they want to play. They're going to feel maybe a little less pressure, and they don't have anything to lose. And Caleb Porter has said repeatedly he is always scared of playing teams that are really desperate to get wins. That makes it a lot harder.
It's not like we get to early November and they're not in it. I mean, it's not like they're that far gone.
Yeah, I mean, last year they weren't in it that much. They needed a result against Columbus on decision day and a ton of help to make the playoffs, and then it didn't happen for them.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp is right. So, but I think Atlanta will be an interesting game on Saturday for sure.
Well, here's another thing about Martinez. He had COVID when he was with Venezuela in the Copa. Mm-hmm. And he said, I read this today, that he had a minor heart issue, says Joseph Martinez. Yeah. That the big thing that we don't know about people who have had COVID is the cardiovascular mm-hmm. issues, even with highly trained athletes. Obviously,
now dehydrate him.
Nothing for the but the best for this guy's health, and it would help if he drank a lot of water. I think maybe the heart issue was more because he was dehydrated. Who knows?
Well, but, and coming back from, you know, an ACL tear last year, right?
I mean, was a devastating injury.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, I don't have, you know, he plays for Atlanta, and I know he can do damage, so I don't want to spend too much time harping on how bad it is for Joseph Martinez. But just from a talent, you know, from the league, you do want to see this guy. He's in... incredible talent. I want him scoring not against Crew. I want him scoring in games that Atlanta still loses. But it is. I mean, he's had a tough run to, you know, have that injury when he got it, what, the first game of the season?
First game of the season on leap day at Nashville before COVID.
Yes. Right.
The game was on national television.
I watched that game. I completely forgot. It seems like that was like 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that was last year.
It seems like 15 years ago, to be perfectly honest.
You guys remember the MLS Back Cup? MLS's Back Cup, whatever. That was so weird.
That happened a year ago.
Won.
I'm pretty sure
they
like,
won the group stage.
I'm pretty sure like this date a year ago, the Crew played like Atlanta or the Red Bulls in their group stage match at like 11 p.m. in Florida and won.
I have aged 50 years in the past 12 months.
Yeah.
My God.
That was a fun tournament. I was on vacation, and like the middle of my vacation, the first games came on TV, and I was so excited just to see anything.
The Lucas free kick against Cincy.
Against Cincy.
The bubble.
Watching the bubble. at the outdoor theater at Easton with like a couple hundred people.
Yeah. And that team got sent home because they all got COVID.
Multiple teams.
Dallas? Yeah, two. Dallas and
Nashville. Right?
Nashville.
Good times.
Yeah. MLS is back. Hell of a time.
What a time to be alive.
How far we've come. Look at the Gold Cup.
Really?
Well,
we have Aloy Room.
Yeah. The MLS Back Delta variant tournament is loading. That'll be that'll be this November.
Just call it MLS is Delta.
That's right.
Well, and who is in charge of Atlanta now? Interim?
They have an interim manager. I don't know who it is off the top of my head, but obviously they're going to be potentially searching for a full candidate.
Frankie says he wants to come back.
Frank DeBoer did say that he might be interested in the job.
Even after they literally drove him out of town.
At this point, Frank DeBoer will take any managerial
job. There were groups of organized people dedicated to driving him out of town in Atlanta.
But he's had four jobs and has been fired from all four.
You have to keep in mind, though, that he is promising each player a Gatorade tub full of ice water and one of those, like, 3-foot-long party straws they can drink out of. They're just going to line them up all alongside the pitch, and they can go over and have a sip anytime they want.
And
I think he's going to get it.
The guy that owns Atlanta, owns the Atlanta Falcons, what's his bucket?
Arthur Blank.
He seems like a nice guy. He seems like a smart guy, but he hires a lot of dumb coaches.
Hey, knock on wood. Long may it continue.
To be fair, from an NFL standpoint for the Falcons, I mean, that team has just basically been under some severe PTSD since blowing that Super Bowl lead. They've just never been the same team. Their coaches were never the same. It's just a terrible situation for the Falcons. They need a reboot.
Dan Quinn just completely failed there. And, you know, it's the trail of former Seahawk assistants who – flame out. It's like Bill Belichick's assistants.
You just hate to see teams, you know, go into games and then blow leads like that. You just hate to see it.
You do legitimately hate to see it against the Patriots.
It only happens to the Atlanta Falcons, though.
Is this a segue? We're going to get to Cincinnati here in just a second. We're going to close with that, Alex. We're going to let you.
Going to close.
We're going to let you.
My God.
Whip out the flamethrower.
This is the worst idea.
But wait, we need to make picks first in this Atlanta game, 3:30 on national TV. I hope we show well in national TV. We certainly don't get there very often.
They've got
Austin.
It often this year because they're the champions, and they'll get more national TV games pretty soon.
So we'll see.
Is the Campeones Cup going to be national TV?
Yeah, ESPN2, but then they're going to have a nice two-game streak.
Oh, we need to talk about that, too. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's make our Atlanta picks. And then we'll do Campeones Cup, and then we'll do Cincinnati. All right? That'll be our kicker. Let's go around the room. I'll start with Sam.
I'm going to go with actually a 1-1 draw. I think it's going to be a good game. I think the defenses are going to play well, but It's going to be an exciting 1-1 draw.
Bart, I'm going to go with a 2-1 victory for the Crew, and Caleb Porter continues his terrific run of away form, picking up his what, eighth career away win.
Will he shush the crowd like Adam Jones?
I would love it. 10th? Okay. That's better than we gave it for him. Let's look at recent away form coming back. But, no, I think... Yeah, I think Atlanta, yes, they're going to have that boost from, you know, a new coach and new players. And I think Atlanta goes up early, but I think we'll see what we've seen from this Caleb Porter coach team is their stick-with-it-ness. And that you'll get a late goal, maybe around stoppage time, halftime, sounds right. We've seen that a couple times in recent weeks. So they get a late goal there to tie it up going into the second half, and then Atlanta knocking on the door, and we steal it again with another Lucas free kick. Why not?
All right, fair enough. Ori?
I think the unbeaten streak continues. I don't think they're going to get a win in Atlanta. I think it's a tough environment to play in, and I also think the Atlanta players are going to be really excited to not play for Gabriel Heinze, which I think makes them better. I say it ends, I'll go with 1-1, 1-1 tie.
All right, Alex?
You know, this is a tough one. I'm gonna go 3-1.
Ooh, I like that.
I think that new ownership is going to show that they're willing to spend any amount of money to win, and they're gonna reroute the piping in Crew Stadium to the Scioto River, and all that water that they're gonna have for those Atlanta players is gonna be completely toxic, and they're all gonna get poisoned right before the game, and. They're going to have to field like a C squad.
You know, they're at Atlanta, right?
Are they?
Yes.
1-1. 1-1. Never mind. Never mind.
Wait, what was the point you brought up, Sam?
They're at Atlanta, right?
Yeah, it's in Atlanta. It's not in Columbus.
I thought it was in Columbus.
No, it's in Atlanta.
We can't play all the games.
They don't host Atlanta until like October.
Man, you're going to reroute the Scioto all the way down to Georgia.
Listen,
that's a hell of a project.
Haslam's have a lot of money.
Sherman's Canal.
You think they couldn't just bribe somebody down at that stadium?
Also, I think we're blowing this Heinze water thing out of proportion. These players were probably able to drink a little bit of water at least. It's not like he starved them.
Hey, is this? You have an actual source for this, or I thought you were supposed to be the journalist? Because my sources are telling me they got very little.
Your sources.
It was one shot glass per practice, is what I was told.
Shot.
Oh, my God.
Shots
sounds like a really bad high school football coach.
All right. Everybody knows my sources
are
great.
I'm going to harken back to, and at this point, time is sort of, it's hard to grasp. Remember that playoff game against Atlanta down there? The best nil-nil game I ever saw in my life. I'm going nil-nil.
Well, but it wasn't really nil-nil because of Adam John.
Well, that's.
Someone won that game, Brian.
That's
so
right.
You got to pick a winner.
All right, 1-0.
There we go.
1-0 Crew. I like it. All right, the Campionis Cup, this sort of got buried in the weeds. We heard about it months ago.
Yeah.
And then it sort of got forgotten. What is it?
Well, the reason it's being brought up now is because we know who the Crew's going to play. So the Campionis Cup is basically CONCACAF's sort of answer to like a community shield or like a super cup. So now every year since 2018, the MLS Cup champions play the winner of Liga MX's community shield, because Liga MX has two champions for their first half and their second half of the season, and they play each other in the MLS venue in a one game sort of final for a trophy. And the Columbus Crew, of course, are playing in the game as MLS Cup champions from last year, and they're going to play Cruz Azul, a very good team that won the second half Liga MX title. They're in the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League facing Monterrey, who Crew fans are very familiar with, having played them.
What do they play in those?
What do they play?
September.
It's going to be September 29th. So
no, I mean, but I know our game is the 29th of September, but I'm talking about the Champions League. They're still in it. When do they play
that?
So
the Champions League semifinals, they're going to have the first leg in the middle of August, and they're going to have the second leg around a week before the Campeones Cup.
Oh, okay.
So Cruz Azul will know whether or not they make the final or are eliminated from the Champions League before they come to Columbus. So it's going to be Crew versus Cruz Azul, September 29th. It was talked about on Twitter. That evening in Columbus, there's going to be a Crew game,
it's
a Jackets preseason game, and a Columbus Clippers game as they start their last regular season series.
The triple header.
The triple Columbus Sports Night in the Arena District. And, you know, Cruz Azul is going to be a tough opponent. And for me, it's a really good showcase for Lower.com Field. It's the first international event at the venue. This is going to be a nice litmus test for the U.S. Soccer Federation and CONCACAF to look at. Maybe we put U.S.-Mexico in this stadium, huh?
Should.
So
why not?
I think it's going to be a great, exciting game. It's a chance to win a trophy. The Crew have never won an international trophy, only domestic cups for this club. And even though it's like a one-game thing and Cruz Azul might not play their best team, I would assume they're going to take the game pretty seriously. I know Caleb Porter's going to take it seriously. He wants trophies. Winning this game is important. You put the club on the map internationally. It helps a lot.
Payback for 2010, baby. 2010 Champions League. That's right. Cruz Azul waxed Crew. It was not good. It was
They're
not
so
good, at all.
Good Cruz Azul.
Yeah, I am not super optimistic. I don't even need to see like the lineup to not be optimistic about
well,
this.
Well, at least I'm not going to ask you to make your
picks.
It's
a Mickey Mouse Cup, though. I still can't take this. I can't take it seriously.
But an MLS team has won it, though. Like, right? Atlanta,
yeah,
and Toronto won.
Atlanta beat Club America in 2019. The first ever one was Tigres beating Toronto.
Okay.
The Crew has two Campeones Cup winners. Lucas Rayon played 88 minutes for Tigres in that Campeones Cup game against Toronto. Darlington Nagbe played a full 90 for Atlanta 2 years ago to beat Club America.
Well, that should say a little bit about how these Liga MX teams, you know, think about the Campeones Cup, because we know where Lucas's standing was in that Tigres lineup. Maybe not the first choice there, the 10 position.
It's going to be a fun event either way. I think even if the game
I'll
is boring, I think it's going to be
a
blast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Vengeance.
And then if they're getting killed by Cruz Azul, Alex, you can just walk down to Nationwide Arena to watch a
go to the Clippers
Blue Jackets
game.
It's I feel like I'm getting Super Liga vibes from this whole tournament still. And it's just like, I don't know, it feels like a CONCACAF.
But it's not a tournament. It's just one game.
Yeah. Well, who's sending the referees for this? That's what I want to
know. My guess would be CONCACAF.
Oh,
it's probably going to be CONCACAF for us.
Congrats to Cruz Azul on your trophy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll await that on September 29th, the busiest sports night in Columbus history.
We should all do all three games. We should do that. That should be a podcast outing. Just make a day of it.
What, just get someone at each of the events or do a – we could
no,
do a
no,
vlog.
He's saying all of us together at every game.
Oh, geez. That would be tough. I think a vlog around the city would be kind of cool.
We
just have someone
the
videotaping
the outside.
Or you need to start training for it now.
Yeah.
You're saying it's tough. Start training now.
All right. Drink your water.
Drink.
That's right.
Hey, drink. I only drink water. Works for me.
Hydrate. All right.
I'm curious to see how they time those games. Since it is a preseason game for the Jackets, there's some flexibility.
Night. That's what I understand.
But I'm thinking, you know, a 12, a 4, and a 7, or something of that nature.
Yeah,
so that you're not super overlapping.
That would be so much fun.
Well, you could do a late-ish. You could have an 8 start for this Crew game.
Campeones
Cup
is probably
eight. Yeah.
But, you know, you do
the Clippers should play at like 10.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, no.
or reverse the Clippers.
Yeah, do Clippers like a, you know, businessman special or just like in our case, you just take off the afternoon and start with the Clippers game.
No, do the Betty special.
Oh.
Start the Clippers game at 10:30. So the
Start the Blue Jackets game at 2 a.m.
Go to the Clippers game.
I'm going to need to bring, like, a sleeping bag. To
hey, and then four days before.
That's a five-hour energy.
OSU football hosts Akron 4 days before, so you can sleep at the Horseshoe for 3 days and then walk to the Arena District and get all these other sporting events.
Ooh, OSU is playing Akron this
Akron.
Year?
Akron. I mean, I would assume that would be a blowout.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, Akron.
I'll skip that.
Yeah. All right. So, Alex, you wanted to opine on FC Cincinnati. Do you put this in the pantheon of FC Cincinnati losses? Is this, in your mind, the worst?
I think it's up there. I mean, I think that what we are witnessing is true greatness in the field of choke artistry. I mean, I think that when you see what they're doing and what they're capable of.
Doesn't the final score tell you everything? 5-4 is like a U8 game.
Well, the best part, I mean, so let me just walk fans through what happened, right? So
Did you watch this?
I did not watch it. But I follow enough Cincy fans. A lot of whom are former Crew fans, so don't feel sorry for them. Oh. I don't want to hear anybody tweeting me saying, you're mean to those people. They were former Crew fans. They can come back anytime. You know, they go up 2-0 early, and then they blow the 2-0 lead, and it's 2-2. And then they go up 4-2. And they blow that lead, and it's 4-4. And at that point, all the Cincy fans in my timeline were like, oh, my God, we're going to do it. We are going to screw this up. And then they screwed it up, and it was 5-4 final score. You know, it's just – it's – you couldn't – if I would have told you ahead of time, you guys would have been like, oh, cut it out. Go back to your Falcao crap, right? Like, it would have been it would have been like fantasy. But they're capable of that.
Yeah.
They are
well,
really
clearly.
It's amazing.
Clearly, as Montreal returns to their native land, their home stadium, for the first time in forever.
A year and a half.
Ten months, because they played the Canadian team.
Okay. That's true. They did play the Canadian team. So it's been a while. It's been a hard road for them.
Yeah.
You could understand why winning this match over Cincinnati was so important to Montreal. And they got it done.
They did. And I think it's to the point now where we really need to – you know, let FC Cincinnati go to where they're going to be calm and happy, which is back to USL. I think we just need to let them free.
But they have that huge new stadium.
They can
USL
use
but
they
can, they're not the worst team
in
MLS, or Miami is.
It's not about the it's not about how many games they win and lose. It's about how they lose and how like
How they tie.
Miserable that makes their fans.
Guess what?
It's a psychological
experiment.
They're not a real team.
They're hosting Atlanta on Wednesday.
Interesting.
Which
hopefully
will
they'll
be
give them a test.
A very fascinating
a
game.
Or Atlanta's legs get tired from scoring so much.
That's a good point. So I want to revise my score against Atlanta because they're going to get their first game in without Gabriel Heinz against FCC, and that is going to be a goddamn massacre.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna. I think I said 2-1. I'm going to go 3-1 now.
All right. Fair enough.
I think Martinez
is going to be like, Hani Mukhtar, hold my beer.
Hold my water.
He's going to be smoking a cigarette on the sidelines by like the 30th minute because he's already scored seven goals.
I want to pick a hat trick tomorrow for Martinez right now.
Oh, my God.
I'll take the over.
Could you imagine?
Is that in Cincinnati?
Yeah, it's in Cincinnati.
Oh, who cares? I'm going to watch that game.
Has Cincinnati won a game in that stadium yet?
No.
They're the only team with a new stadium in 2021 in MLS that hasn't won a game. Even Austin's won a game in their new stadium. And they beat Portland 4-1, which is a hell of a victory.
Well, you know, it's got to really sting the fact you get excited anytime you score four goals in a game, in a professional game.
Martinez is going to roll like a handful of dice before the game. And like, that's how many goals he's going to score before this.
And that's how many cups of water he's going to drink after the win.
Before this fill-in coach takes him off. He's going to be like, oh, it's 18. Okay, I'll take you off after 18.
Celebration for the goal is definitely running to the sideline and just doing a Greg Berhalter just squirting from the water bottle really frantically.
Man, we need to get the Cincy-Atlanta game on while you guys are watching the Crew game.
My God.
They should – if they show that score, if it gets out of hand, they need to put that on the board at halftime.
They don't, just they so don't ever show out-of-town scores. They should do that.
I would love to see that in MLS a little more. I think that would be really
gonna
cool.
I'm going to have my phone at my seat there in the south end just – kind of keeping an eye on that.
They need to get the actor from Rocky and just be like, stop the fight. That guy, just like get him and put him on the sideline for when the time comes.
All right,
I'm guessing it'll be about 42 minutes in.
FC Cincinnati, always good for entertainment. How many 5-4 games? Yeah, it seems to me that back in the beginning of the league, there were tons of games that were like that. 5-4, 4-3.
Yeah, you also could run up to take a penalty kick.
Right. So
even
it was
a
different league back
that.
Then, but a cartoonish score like that, this day and age, that is pretty weird.
They're not even blaming the refs anymore. Like, that's the saddest thing. Like, they've just accepted how bad they are, that it's, like, legitimate.
Well, the FC Cincinnati is like the Reds bullpen of MLS.
Yeah, and as we're finishing up the podcast, Joey Votto just hit a home run for the Reds.
They're still going to lose.
All the good karma for the city of Cincinnati, right there, 428 feet out of
the bottom of the third. They're still going to lose, just like FC Cincy.
Last point: seeing those home run stats, I want angle. Launch angle. I want exit velo for Lucas Zelarayán free kicks in MLS. I want that statistic in the league.
Good. I like it.
Yes.
And it's gone. All right. We got to go. We'll see you at lower.com field tomorrow for Nashville. Should be interesting. And then, of course, we'll be watching on TV Saturday as we take on Atlanta. Let's thank our friends here at Saucy as Ori shoves more pizza in his face.
It's good pizza.
We get it every week. My family loves it. It's a new Benatar tradition, but it's just you should make it a tradition to come to Saucy Brewworks. It's the best bar in Columbus and place to be in the world. Saucy Brewworks, if your brew works, then why not be saucy with it? We actually found out today that they're going to be hosting a lot of Premier League games and European soccer, and the Aston Villa supporters group of Columbus is going to make this place their home and show Aston
Jack
Villa
Grealish.
Games.
That's rough.
Yeah, get a Grealish 69 sign here in the bar. But
like
a lot
it.
Of soccer to come in the fall at Saucy Brewworks. Come on down on 443 West 3rd Avenue. Get some food, get some beer, watch some sports.
So if Aston Villa is playing at 7 a.m., they're going to be open.
They're going to be open.
Wow.
Well, that's what we heard.
That's the talk. That's the talk.
Okay.
Not confirmed yet.
Not confirmed, but that's the talk.
That's all the right. talk.
Fair enough.
Matt right. will open the doors for you.
Like and subscribe. Thank you, Matt. We saw Matt for the first time in a long time today. He's got all kinds of stuff cooking. That guy is like a tornado. He's always got stuff going. For Alex, for Bart, for Sam, I'm Brian. Listen to my radio station, CD92.9. Like and subscribe to the Mass Report Podcast. We thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week when we got a whole lot of games to go over right here in the Mass Report Podcast.